Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. He's the president and chairman of Novo Resources. And for those of you who are regular listeners to this show, very familiar with Novo Resources. It's been a sponsor to the show for some time now. We picked up the stock long before it became popular. It rose from, I think, around 65 cents or so in U.S. money last July. It went all the way up to around $7, attached $7 in U.S. funds, came back, corrected fairly significantly, kissed $2 a share for a very brief period of time, and now it's up a little over $3. In fact, today, stock is up over 10% on a day in which almost every gold stock that I've seen is down, and down pretty hard in a generally tough market today. Novo trades in New York, that is in the United States, under the symbol NSRPF, which is where I bought the stock. Trades in Canada under NVO, $3.31 in U.S. money today, 152 million shares or thereabouts outstanding. So thanks for joining me again, Dr. Henning. It's really good to have you with me.
Thank you very much, Jay. It's always a pleasure.
Always good to have you, and it's always good to have you on this continent, at least for a breather once in a while. You're most of the time spending your time in northwestern Australia in what is one of the most exciting exploration, I would say exciting and unusual exploration plays that I've seen in the 30 or 40 years that I've been following junior exploration stocks. So you say you don't know what's going on in today's market. I mean, I guess you're just keeping your nose to the ground and you're working real hard trying to build a mining project. But the stock is up very nicely today in what is otherwise a bad market. Somebody has to see some value there buying that stock in a day when almost nobody wants to buy gold stocks, eh?
Jay, you're giving credit here, but I'm thinking it's because of your show.
Well, that's very nice, but you're flattering me, but I know, you know, what did somebody say? Don't try to BS a BSer or something like that. No. No, yeah. My show has nothing to do with it. I'm sure we brought a few buyers. I know we have along the way, but I think it's more like the Eric Sprotts of this world, the big boys that play in this market. But whatever, everybody counts. And what really gives me joy is when I have subscribers that say how thankful they are. One, in fact, said that he was able to buy his house as a result of your stock. So, Quentin, you work hard. You don't know these things, but some of us, and I'm sure you hear from some of these people too from time to time. But let's get right into your project and what you're doing there in northwestern Australia. You had been working at Purdy's Reward, and now you've moved over to Comet Well. You started with Purdy's Reward, which I believe would not have been your starting point if you were it not for that was the only area that you had permits to start exploring on. But now you've moved over to the much larger Comet Well target along the same strike length, and I think if I remember, you have something like 7 or 7.5 kilometers of strike of what I believe was formerly, say, shoreline of a deep basin, of a shallow basin, marine environment. And they're finding all these nuggets with along the 7 kilometer strike length, which has gotten the markets very, very excited, obviously. But talk to us a little bit about Purdy's Reward and what you're seeing now that you've gone over to Comet Well. I know you put out on February 14th, you put out a press release talking about some of those results, which to me look very promising. But can you give us an update on what you're finding over at Comet Well and how that might differ from what you found at Purdy's Reward?
Sure thing, Jay. Last year we spent most of our time working on the Purdy's Reward tenement. Purdy's Reward has roughly 1.5 kilometers of strike along this conglomerate horizon that you just described. It's up at the northeast end of the trend, so the conglomerate section basically continues straight across the property boundary onto what we call a Comet Well tenement. These are tenements that are subject to a different agreement. Purdy's is a joint venture between Novo and Artemis Resources, whereas Comet Well is an 80-20 joint venture, Novo with 80, and we have two gentlemen we're in joint venture with. They're local to the Pilbara region. And we're moving this project forward, through the similar exploration to what we did last year. We experimented with large-scale trenching late in the season last year at Purdy's. We really had to cut our teeth. I can't emphasize enough how challenging some aspects of this project are, but we've learned through, you know, because of the coarse gold nature of the system, that we have to take bulk samples. All right, so we've come to the conclusion that we are targeting samples, say, on the minimum size of 5 tons. Mm-hmm. Because of the large sample size, we've also had to go out and find a suitable test plant that we could put the material through and actually generate some meaningful numbers. Okay, so we did that. We announced that we secured a test plant that belongs to STS. It's a global corporation that does geochemical analyses and things. So it's a reputable lab. We can get certified results as a product, which is really, really important to us. All right, so this plant is down in Perth. It's in a little suburb on the north end of Perth. Our plan is to collect 5 to 10 ton samples from site. We are putting these in large wooden crates. We literally had to go out and design our own crates and everything. I mean, we're starting from the ground up here. Mm-hmm. But people must understand, and hopefully be patient with us while we experiment with how we take these samples. So on the rock face, for example, people can see from the news release, let's just say it was February 14th, I guess, some photos of what we're doing there. We are cleaning the rock face as good as we can with basically stripping all the soil, all the oxidized material off of the outcrop so that we're down into, good, fresh, hard rock. We start by doing metal detecting. A lot of people ask me questions about metal detecting. Look, we try to do it routinely, but it's absolutely critical, as we've learned, that we have to get rid of all the rubbish. There can't be soil on top because there's mm-hmm. There's nuggets in the soil, even little flecks of steel off the excavator and bulldozer can cause problems. So we've got it down to a system where we blow the outcrop off with high pressure air. It basically cleans everything away, and then when we metal detect, now we have a high confidence that the little detector strikes, the signals we get, are probably nuggets. All right, so this is an important aspect. Then sampling. Okay, so sampling entails, identifying the geologic parts of the section that we would like to sample. Okay, the entire conglomerate section is something like 30 meters thick at Comet Well. To give you a perspective, if we sample every half meter, that would be 60 samples just to take, from Comet Well alone. Mm-hmm. These bulk samples, put it in perspective, are going to cost something like $30,000 per sample.
Wow.
Produce a number. Okay, so what we're doing is we're targeting the lower part of the section first. We have areas where there's demonstrable detector signals. We're taking bulk samples from those. We're having to experiment a bit, because when they try breaking the rock with the moils and the little hydraulic rock breakers on the excavator, rock was flying all over the place. Well, these are little things you don't think of when you start mm-hmm. something like this, but they're important. So we've learned to get some screening to make sure all the materials contain, that we don't get any contamination, falling into the hole. There's a lot of things we're learning, but we have got a system down, and it seems to be working quite well. We've collected a few samples so far. We anticipate collecting, out of this first trench that people can see in the news release, we anticipate collecting, something like 6 or 8 samples in total, and mostly from the lower part of the section. But, through time, we'll sample some other parts of the section as we learn a little bit more. Right now, what we're doing is we're opening up the conglomerate along strike, so we're actually expanding the area. And really just kind of following our nose. We're pushing back the soil and the rock and getting a feel for where the gold-bearing horizons are trending. It's really an exercise in patience and diligence, mm-hmm. to track this thing. But it's very exciting. We see a thicker section. We see a different conglomerate at Comet Well than we did at Purdy's. It's thicker, but it's also different geologically. The lower bit of conglomerate that we have at Comet Well seems to have nuggets dispersed through a bigger thickness, so they're not all concentrated, they're not mostly concentrated on the basal surface. There's actually nuggets, scattered over, 3-4 meters of conglomerate in what we would consider abundance. I can't quantify that, but, mm-hmm. we get a lot of detector hits. And we're quite excited about this. You know, this is the kind of stuff we really are keen to see. Now, you know, the $64,000 question about this project is, where the heck is the Flying Brain gold?
Yeah.
It's very unusual to have a gold system that has very little of any fine grain gold. As people are aware, you know, in December, I put out news talking about this issue, tried to make it very clear to everyone so they understand the complexities. But, you know, we don't know where that fine grain component is right now. It could be that there's a fine grain component at Comet Well. We hope to see that. If not, you know, these bulk samples are really going to be the way to go. And we're to the point where we've worked our way up the learning curve. I feel very confident we can now generate results to the market that are you know, consistent in quality and approach. And, you know, it'll allow everybody to wrap their minds around what we have here.
All right. How soon, Quentin, might people expect to see some numbers coming out, those $30,000 numbers?
Yeah. Okay. So to be very, very clear with everyone, we don't know exactly, okay? We've got the samples going down to the lab at SGS right now, and we also have to go through a bit of a learning process to put the material through these this equipment, okay? So, you know, SGS lab personnel are there. They're going to work with our scrutineers. And by the way, Jay, everything we do is scrutineered. Like, there's independent people on site all the time.
That's good. Very good.
Both at the property and also at the laboratory to make sure, you know, everything's done absolutely, you know, perfect and there's no issues. Okay.
So, sure. Good.
Yeah. Anyway, the processing of the samples is probably going to take about 4 weeks, maybe six, let's call it. So I would say we'll call it early April, maybe mid-April, when we should be able to generate some numbers to put out to the market.
All right, very good. There was some issue to do with a sorting technology. You were using the first bulk sample or so that you did over at Purdy's Reward, and then you had some difficulty with a different machine that was used. Yes. That sorting machine, it could be very, very important in that it's able to get rid of the low-value rock and concentrate and process the higher-grade rock. Is there any news on that front?
Look, we are using a different processing scheme to treat these bulk samples. I want to make that clear. So let's wind back the clock now and talk about our original plan. Back in July and August, we put a sample through the Nagrum Laboratory in Perth, and they happen to have a Steinert ore sorting machine on site. Okay, it was in transit to another mining facility in Australia, but they were able to put our first sample through that machine, and it did a fantastic job. It basically took the rock, concentrated most of the gold into a very small fraction. I think it was like 2 or 2.5% of the overall mass.
Mm-hmm.
It worked like a charm. All right, so we thought, okay, this is good. We can do this routinely going forward. Look, I was not quite clear what happened with the second machine until I got a bit of clarity, you know, through various channels late in the year. But it sounds like the second machine was not quite the same type of machine as the first one. Because of that, because the whatever devices are on it, they're used to pick the rock, they weren't as effective, I guess, is the best way to put it. So the mass pull was something like 25% instead of 2%. It made things problematic because we ended up with too much concentrate. And, you know, once again, it became a sampling issue. So we've kind of backed off from that. But I can say that the Steinert, you know, technology is indeed sound. And that, yes, if we you know, look, the lead time to order one of these machines is something like a year. So, look, we've talked with Steinert about securing a machine that was similar to the first one. You know, but that'll come with time. Okay, those are just discussions at this point.
All right. Well, Quentin, so far it's understandable, but the efforts have been based on this shallow, daylighted gold mineralization. You staked something like 10,000 square kilometers or something like that down deeper into the basin. What are your plans for that? Because one of the concerns, I had a subscriber write to me and say he's afraid that maybe what happens is one of the big fish come along and swallow up Novo on the basis of, you know, a few million ounces on the surface, which sounds like a pretty good deal to me, actually. Oh. But a few million ounces and when in fact, you know, your view has always been sort of maybe deeper in the basin, there could be the carbon leaders or something more akin to what you saw in South Africa. Can you comment a little bit on what your plans might be to explore, at least preliminarily, down deeper into the basin?
Sure. Look, you know, obviously to explore down deeper into the basin, we're talking about drilling. That's it really.
Yeah.
The means to explore without sinking a shaft, say, okay?
Sure.
We are stepping out. You know, if people look at the news late in December there, we did some drilling down dip at Purdy's, for example, you know, a few hundred meters. And, you know, I'll be darned, the conglomerate system is evolving. You can see some, you know, fairly profound changes in the rocks as you go out in the basin. So we know that we're going out into a somewhat deeper water environment, you know, further from shore. We are going to do the same thing at Comet Well. We'll drill some holes out there and see how the geology changes. You know, but the challenge becomes gold. How do you evaluate the actual gold content of those rocks? We don't. We cannot do that through core drilling. Okay, it's very important people understand that. It's just a limitation we have. Really, you know, if I had a crystal ball, I guess the best answer I could provide this gentleman who you mentioned, I would say that the way this will evolve will likely be through this trench work we're doing, but then a next step will be, say, a trial phase of mining. And through that trial mining, perhaps we start putting some declines or something like that down into the conglomerate units and exploring them in the subsurface. But a lot of that can be driven by the core drilling we're doing. In other words, we can see the conglomerate. You know, so it's very easy to make certain assumptions. You know, the conglomerate, you know, 500 meters down dip looks a lot like the conglomerate we're sampling in the trench. Well, you know, you can start to conjecture about these things. So, you know, but we're going to have to chip away at it. Look, when the Witwatersrand was found, if you read the news articles from that time period, everybody kept thinking, oh, the system's going to cut out. You know, as soon as they hit 100 meters, it's going to, you know, evaporate and it'll all be done. Then 300 meters, then 500 meters, then a kilometer. You know, you read the news articles from that time period. It's actually remarkable how the Witwatersrand, you know, the Johannesburg district, the Central Rand district developed, okay? If people want a sense of how this might play out, they should do a little research on Google.
Very interesting. Well, we're just about out of time. I have to ask you about your burn rate now, because you must be burning through an awful lot of money very fast, as you've been very thankful to Kirkland Lake for coming through and providing some great financing on before you had even the first drill hole down. And that is, I guess you're in pretty good shape yet for a while, but could you talk about just briefly, you know, your burn rate and how long you can keep going with what you have in the till right now?
Absolutely, Jay. It's very important. Okay, so we have right about $70 million right now. In fact, that's about what we had back in October. The reason we still have $70 million is because we have seen warrant exercises. We've seen about, I think, around $5 or $6 million in warrant money exercised since October 1st. And that's helped us, you know, basically tread water in terms of cash. We are going through about $1.5 million to $2 million a month, and we anticipate doing so for the foreseeable future. Now, that will change as time goes on. If we go to trial mining, the cost might go up, but that's a year or so down the road. Okay, so right now we have a very, very good cash balance and a very manageable burn rate, and I don't even lose sleep at night worrying about money.
Well, that's good, because I knew a time when you did lose a bit of sleep, or at least I think you might have. But in any event, Quentin, I want to thank you very much. So what should people be looking forward now to? I guess the April assays, anything else that might come out before then? Any drill results or any drilling, any information that might come out from scout drilling or anything else we might learn from you?
Look, what we'll probably put out is information about both the trench results and drilling at the same time, similar to what we did in December, so people can compare, you know, how things are looking, like they get the full picture. Okay, so that will be sometime in April. In between now and then, I'm likely to provide some updates about the sampling we're doing and more information as we open up more trenches and stuff. People will get a flavor for what we're actually seeing on the ground. But after April, okay, after we get the first results out, there should be a series of results, bulk sample results, for the next few months following April. But our ultimate goal is to determine this trajectory towards trial mining, say sometime around mid-year.
Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Quentin, for your time. Always a pleasure hearing what you're doing there with Noble. I really wish you all the best for, obviously for selfish reasons, because it is the largest holding in my portfolio. It's one that my subscribers have done well with. And, well, we'd really like to see you create more wealth out there with a new, great new discovery in Australia. So thank you very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to keeping up with you in the future.
Thank you, Jay.